Welcome to Prostate Cancer Uncensored, a podcast produced by Zero Prostate Cancer.
My name is Chris Bennett, the Director of Health Equity, Community Organizing and Engagement, and I'm really happy to have Dr. Eddie Wright here on with us today. Dr. Eddie Wright is based in the Dallas, Texas area, and I'm going to pass it off over to him for a quick little introduction. Thanks for joining.
Hey, Chris. Thank you for having me. Yeah. I really appreciate it. I'm Dr. Eddie Wright. And as you say, we're based out of Dallas, Texas. I'm the founder and CEO of We Can Win, a real talk about prostate cancer. And we are in our second year of building this nonprofit to bring some much needed real information into the African-American male communities about prostate cancer. And you know, this year we're kicking off with something a little bit differently. So we're adding breast cancer to our symposium that's coming up. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but that's who I am. That's what I do. Let me just say again, thank you to you, Chris, for being such an advocate for us and for the support that you've given us since we met at the summit. It's been a great time.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, no problem. Honestly, it's always great to be able to work with folks in the community. And I think that's one thing that we love to do here at Zero is try to identify those people that are already doing the hard work, already those trusted partners in the community. So again, thank you so much for the work that you're doing. I think it's so necessary, like you said, you know, especially to work in the Black community, trying to reach a population that historically hasn't been served in the ways that it probably should have been. So let's talk a little bit more about We Can Win. What made you want to start We Can Win? And tell us a little bit about that journey.
Well, okay, so this journey all started in California back in 2012. I was actually on my way on vacation, and I got a call back from my doctor who had me in a couple of weeks prior to me leaving because he noticed a spike in my PSA. It actually went from 1.5 to 5.5 in a little bit less than 12 months. Mm. And I had no idea what prostate cancer was. I'd heard about it, but like most Black men, never investigated it, didn't know what it could do, whether it was a killer or whether it was just something you could take a pill for and mm-hmm. away it goes, right? Yeah. So I went in for the initial exam with the doctor, and he recommended that I go see a radiologist, and he sent me to the Palo Alto Medical Foundation in California.
Okay.
So when I came back from vacation, I went and I met with this panel of doctors. It's about 12 doctors, radiologists, oncologists, urologists. There were dietitians. And I'm like, wait a minute, man. Am I getting ready to leave this place or what? You know, but it was, you know, in the beginning, it was very unsettling to walk into an environment like that with all these doctors around. I guess the only person that was missing was the funeral director, right? Mm-hmm. Mm. So I sit down and get to talking with these guys. And the radiologist that I had said to me, he says, listen, I don't want you to worry about this, Mr. Wright. The trace that we found was a very, very small trace, about the size of the tip of an ink pen. So what we want to do is we want to conduct a biopsy and just to see where we are. So we had a biopsy done. And fortunately, it was just that little bitty trace.
Yeah.
So what they did was they decided, well, you know, we have a couple of choices here. You could either have your prostate removed, okay, or we can do what's called active surveillance or watch and wait.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to do the active surveillance because at that point it didn't make sense for me to have surgery.
Yeah. Right?
And I was my mid-50s. It just didn't make sense.
Yeah.
And so over the course of about 10 years or so,
mm-hmm.
I went through 6 biopsies,
okay,
which is a lot. No man should have that many biopsies.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2017, I guess it was a course of like 5 years. So from 2012, 2017, I met with the urologist at the Navy Medical Center, And he said this to me. He says, I think it's time to make a move. He said, because this prostate cancer is not looking too good. So I said, okay, you know, you're the doctor. So they sent me over to UT Southwestern Radiation Oncology, where I met this guy, Dr. Hanan, and his partner, and Tamara Dickinson, who was his nurse practitioner. And they sat down in a seat right in front of me, eye to eye, and he said to me, he says, listen, I don't want you to worry. This thing is not going to kill you.
Okay.
But we have to do something about it because it's not looking like it's trying to stay stable.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a clinical trial that was they had just completed a couple of years prior called SBRT.
Okay.
They had a 99% success rate.
Yep.
And so I said to the doctor, I said, hey, listen, if you say that this thing will work, then, you know, you're the doctor. I trust you.
Yeah.
So let's go with it. I mean, I have a 50-50 chance here, right?
You know, yeah.
So listen, either I'm going to come out okay or I'm not going to come out. Either way, you know, I'm good with it.
Yeah.
We had the procedure done, and that was in December of 2018. And I mean, here I am today, man. I'm 68 years old, married. I have a relatively normal life. You know, I'm pretty much healthy. I take one capsule every day. And what that does is Tamoxifen to control the prostate gland. So, you know, you won't have any urinary issues and stuff like this. And so since December of 18, it's been cool. I mean, that's what got me here. Because through that journey, Chris, I heard so much, not so much misinformation, but disinformation. And so, you know, I'm asking these questions now because I'm starting to hear more and more and more about statistics in the African-American community. For instance, you know, this thing was taking us out at twice the rate of any other race. Just impressed to me. So with my connection at, well, not my connection, but with my doctors at UT Southwestern, I began to ask these questions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why is this disease killing black men so frequently? Right? And so they started to explain it to me, you know, black men won't go to the doctors. They don't want to have the prostate exam because they think you have to do the rectal exam and this, that, and the other. They're just totally misinformed. And so, I said, well, look, somebody's got to do something, man. Somebody's got to say something about this. So they asked me at that point, well, what can we do to help you to get the word out? And my words to them was this, give me a platform and support that platform where I can go out into the African-American community and tell them about the seriousness of prostate cancer and why it's so important to have early screening and detection. You know, try to erase the negative narrative. About the, you know, the anal exam. And I was talking to a couple of friends of mine. You may know Henry Washington and, and David and them. We had a conversation not too long ago, and David mentioned what's called the white coat syndrome. And I'm like, the white coat syndrome. I said, what is that? He said, that's something that exists in the African-American male community. And what it is that we're afraid to go to the doctor. Because we're afraid we might get bad news. Well, you know, meeting black men, I mean, all across the country as I travel, I always ask the question, I get into these conversations about prostate cancer, and the number one answer I get is, man, I didn't know that. I didn't know that either until I started asking the questions. The seriousness of prostate cancer is that it's not a one-man show, man. I mean, you know, the prostate cancer affects your family. It affects your wife, your children, your village. You know, it affects people that are in your circle because if you start to decline from prostate cancer because you won't go to the doctor, then that responsibility will fall on your village. You know, I don't want my wife and my kids to struggle
yeah,
with me because I wouldn't go to the doctor.
Right.
Right. And so, unfortunately, that stigma that exists in the communities of African-American males, and now with breast cancer with African-American females,
yeah,
well, we are just afraid to go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being is I find that in talking with some of these people, for one of the things they'll say to me is, well, you remember what they did to us at Tuskegee. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember all of that, man. But come on, that was 50, 60 years ago.
Yeah.
Are we going to continue to live like that? Are we going to continue to let something that happened, you know, way back then affect the way we live today?
Yeah.
I mean, you go into the doctor, man, and now you, oh yeah, it's a simple blood test, PSA
right.
test.
Right.
Simple blood test. Yeah. 3 seconds. That can save your life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Possibly, or if nothing else, it can add years to your life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I've made this my life's journey, man, to get out. I want to be able to travel across the country mm-hmm. and tell African-American men everywhere, man, you have to go and get a PSA test.
Yeah.
I had a recent meeting with Commissioner Roy Brooks over in Tarrant County, Fort Worth, last week.
Yep.
And he said to me, his brother was his primary care physician. And he made him get a PSA test every year.
Mm-hmm.
And his PSA started off at a 2.0. It went up to a 4.0. He decided to have surgery, which I still don't understand why at that early stage, but that was his decision.
Yeah.
But his brother, his younger brother by 15 months, who was a physician,
okay,
never got tested.
Hmm.
He didn't get tested until it started bringing him down. He was in fourth stage when they discovered that he had prostate cancer.
Yeah.
It killed
him. Yeah. Yeah.
It took him out of here, man.
Mm-hmm.
My best friend, one of my best friends, came up with in California. We back in the day, we went to beauty college together. We worked in the same salons. We performed on big stages across America at beauty, some of the biggest beauty trade shows in America.
Yeah.
I got a phone call while I was in Mobile, Alabama, told me that my best friend was dead.
Mm-hmm.
I asked his daughter, well, what happened? She said, Uncle, he died in his sleep.
Mm.
Uncle said, okay, so what was wrong? He had prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't go to the doctor, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so at some point, this thing got to shaking me up real good.
Yeah.
And, you know, and talking with my wife and mm-hmm. With my daughter, I said, look, I got to do something.
Yeah.
So we decided to have a small setting where we would bring together 25, 30 young men,
mm-hmm.
A panel of doctors and medical professionals, and talk about this thing.
Yeah.
Now, the other problem is you hear this in our communities. White doctors don't care about us.
Yeah, yeah.
And with me, you know, I tell people, listen, I'm totally unfiltered when it comes to this thing.
Right.
I mean, I get it. I mean, yeah. I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
What you think, because you don't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
When we know better, Chris, we do better.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And so, going to tell these guys, listen, this panel of doctors that I'm dealing with, they really care about us.
Yeah.
They talk about us. We're part of that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
How can we save these men's lives in the African-American community?
Yeah.
So let's back away from that negative narrative.
Yeah.
Right. So we wanted to bring these guys together. COVID spiked 2 weeks before my event. Right. So we ended up with about 27 people in person.
Yeah.
But because of technology, we had a viewing audience of about 350 virtual viewers.
Wow.
Right.
That's it. Yeah.
So that, right after that, I had a conversation with my wife and I said, you know what? I can't stop here. I got to keep going. I got to do this again.
Yeah.
During that time, I got connected with Zero.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And, couple of their representatives came out and, you know, they brought literature, brought some swag and stuff like that we were able to put out into our community. But that still yet wasn't enough because we didn't have enough people
Yeah.
Person. So we can win. Started off as real talk about prostate cancer.
Yep.
We can win.
Yeah.
And I was talking with my graphic designer that did this logo you see in the background.
Yep. Yeah.
And she said, Dr. Wright, let's change some things up. Say, you know, we can win seems to be more like what you want to say to your people.
Yeah.
And so after a little conversation, we decided to change things around. So from it went from real talk about prostate cancer to we can win.
Okay.
And then our tag is real talk about prostate cancer. Yeah. And you probably can see over in the distance, it says a cure is within reaching distance.
Yeah.
And so we're in our funding stage, built some great partnerships. Zero, of course. We've partnered with Zero, and we've done some work with Zero.
Yep.
On the Hill in D.C. on Capitol Hill, advocating to try to get some of these bills passed and signed so we can get rid of some of this cost that is keeping these men from going and get tested.
Yeah.
You hear people say, listen, the test is only about $35, between $35 and $65. But if you have a family of four,
yeah,
or five,
yeah,
right, one person working, that's right, a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. House. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we're in the process now of partnering with the Moncrief Cancer Center.
Okay.
Built a relationship with the American Cancer Society, who's one of our sponsors for the upcoming event. We are partnered with the Harold C. Simmons Comprehensive Cancer Center.
Mm-hmm.
We've worked with all of us, the research program. And so, you know, we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to partner with Commissioner Brooks.
Yep.
His event next year in February.
Right.
And I'm using his name because I asked him if I could call his name out. But this guy has the same passion. Uh-huh. And I have when it comes down to prostate cancer,
yeah.
Right? So this year, we decided to step out a little bit further.
Yeah.
Because I started hearing the same thing about breast cancer. Our Black women are not going and having annual mammograms starting at age 40. They need to start going.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm a man. I get it. I understand how uncomfortable it is for them to have this exam. But it's important to have the exam.
Yeah.
I'd rather know and be able to treat it. Yeah. Not know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's yeah. I love this story. I love the journey. I love how important you've made this work in your community, and just the passion that you have for all of this is definitely, it definitely shines through. You've made so many phenomenal points that I definitely want to get to. Let's start a little bit with your journey in terms of trusting your doctor. And I think, you know, one thing that we hear a lot of, especially a lot of the conversations that I have is folks don't necessarily trust their doctors, right? And they might not feel comfortable navigating those conversations. So what were some of those tools and resources that you used that you use to kind of have those conversations with your care teams that you were working with? Because it seems like you had a fairly successful treatment path, right? Like, I'm sure there were barriers, but what kind of empowered you to have those conversations with your team and to make the decisions that you made? Those are huge decisions that I know a lot of times are really hard to make. And I know you talked a lot about your family and the support that you have from your family. So if you could just give us a little bit about that and kind of talk a little bit about that, what kind of made you feel empowered in terms of kind of navigating the system?
Yeah, I mean, so listen, on this journey, I'm a Vietnam veteran.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Vietnam and I came back home, and then years later, find out that Agent Orange,
yeah,
cause this issue with prostate cancer. I'm not into blaming anybody for anything. Life has its ways of doing things, so it is what it is. But trust is a major factor in this thing, Chris. It's a major factor. Mm-hmm. And you have to build a relationship with your care team from day one.
Yeah.
Not a week or two or three later.
Yeah.
You have to build that relationship from day one.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I walked into the office, Dr. Hanan at UC Southwestern, when that guy sat down in front of me, man, I'm telling you, he sat face to face with me, probably 12 inches away from me. He looked me right in my eyes and he told me exactly what was going to happen.
Okay.
From day one.
Yeah.
Right. How we were going to proceed. He explained all the procedures to me, what the procedure, you know, the procedural time was, and how many people were going to be in the room. And I'm looking at this guy like, wait a minute, man. Nobody has ever sat down with me and explained in detail like this.
Right.
So that's number one.
Yeah.
You have to have a care team who will be upfront and honest with you, who show they care about you from the beginning, who is affected by the way you feel, not by how they feel, who will answer your emails, your phone calls. You know, we live in the day of technology. We can reach out to our doctors 24/7.
Right.
So my care team has always been available to me.
Yeah.
I've never had an issue. I mean, I even text with my nurse practitioner. Something doesn't look right.
Mm-hmm.
I send her a text.
Yeah.
She'll get right back to me.
Yeah.
So that's the main thing. You have to build that relationship with your care team.
Yeah.
When you walk through the door, you cannot walk through the door with a lot of negativity in your heart saying that, you know, doctors really don't care about us. They just care about the money. I mean, hey, listen, you got good cops, you got bad cops. You got good doctors, you got bad doctors.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to the right place trying to hook up with the best doctors, not just the right doctors.
Right.
But the best doctors. And I believe I have a team of the best doctors. Dr. Hanan is one of the most notable urologists in North Texas.
Yeah.
And he is upfront.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't hold back.
Yeah.
If he doesn't think he can get you through this thing, he'll tell you, hey, man, look, you're more advanced. Like, I'm not going to be able to do this. But what I like about the team that I have at UT Southwestern and the Harold Simmons Center is that regardless of how I walk through the door, because I had some moments, let's put it like, you know, keep it real.
Yeah.
I had some moments, man. I'm like, I don't know what this thing's going to do to me.
Yeah, of course.
It's already changing the way I live my life.
Yeah.
And so the step-by-step process, if I needed to talk, I had somebody talk real talk.
Right.
Don't sugarcoat this thing because, you know, in our community, you just have to be real.
Yeah.
Can't sugarcoat stuff, man. You can't play with these guys. These guys, your life is on the line. So I was talking to one of my fraternity brothers, man. I just got a text from him today.
Mm-hmm.
And he went through 45 treatments of radiation.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I only went through 5 treatments of radiation.
Yeah.
My case,
and
we're still talking about these caregivers, and my case is different.
Yeah.
Because I believe, and you know, I sat down one day and I was like, you know, I was really depressed, man, about it. Didn't share with too many people, but so I was like, listen, God, why me, man? I mean, you know, you can get it to somebody else, you know, why me?
Yeah.
And so when we question God about what he's doing, we have to be ready for the answer. I heard him say to me, man, if you had not contracted this disease, I would not have been able to provide a platform for you to discuss this disease with millions of men across the United States.
Right. Yeah. And I think I love, let's definitely stay on that thread of vulnerability, because I think especially within the Black community, right, being vulnerable sometimes as a man is not something that we tend to do very well. Right. And I think, you know, you've definitely touched on it a couple of times when you were talking about being there for your family. And I'm sure that, you know, there's men out there now that need to hear it. And anytime I get to go around and talk to folks around the country, primarily women caretakers, right? Or just folks across, just this folks that might not necessarily be the actual prostate cancer survivor or prostate cancer, you know, person that was diagnosed with prostate cancer.
You know, one thing that I often hear is, you know, it, you know, we hear all these things about, oh, I don't want to talk about it because it makes me, you know, seem a little bit weaker or anything. But I definitely feel like there is, this is the opportunity to be vulnerable, right? If you have the opportunity to be able to help folks and you feel comfortable talking about it, why not? So what do you say to the folks that are almost there, to those men that are almost there in terms of being able to share their story? Talk a little bit about like the vulnerability and how it's kind of helped you throughout this process and how it's helped you really help all these other men that you're working with.
Listen, it's real simple. It's really simple.
Yeah.
Real men talk about prostate cancer.
Mm.
They don't die from prostate cancer.
Mm.
It's just that simple.
Yeah.
Listen, we have to get rid of the fear factor.
Okay.
Listen, man, if you are diagnosed with prostate cancer at a late stage, 9 out of 10 times, it's going to wipe you out.
Yeah.
It's going to change your you're talking about the digital rectal exam.
DRE, yeah.
You get caught in third or fourth stage. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, look, it's going to change your sex life. Let's talk about it for real. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I go at it. I go at it for real. Yeah. Let's talk about it for real. If you wait until it's too late, mm-hmm. and they have to remove that prostate, especially at a young age, 45, 50 years old is a young age.
Yeah.
It's going to affect your manhood.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to change the way you your diet.
Yeah.
It's going to change your day-to-day life. I mean, why?
Yeah.
Why? Because we're afraid to talk about it?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Look, yeah.
If you're that tough outside, you better be tough with yourself.
Mm.
And say, listen, Ed, you better get your butt down to that doctor, man, and go take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Or you're going to die at a young age.
Yeah.
And so Chris, it's real talk. That's where this comes from.
Okay.
It's real talk. We can't sugarcoat this thing. We can no longer play with it.
Absolutely.
It's taking us out.
Yeah.
Because we're scared to go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. Let's be real about this thing.
Yeah.
Take your behind to the doctor.
Yeah.
Go get checked out, man.
Yeah, it's almost a 100% survivability rate if you catch it early enough. And so I definitely, sure. And you know, I definitely want to echo that piece out to the folks that are listening. You know, I know it can be scary, but I think to your point, you know, like this is something that you know, our people want us here, right? Our people want us to be able to beat this, to survive this. And so I think that's definitely a message I hear all the time is, you know what, people want us here. So if that takes us kind of having that hard conversation with ourselves and just being able to have these real conversations about prostate cancer and about our health, I think it's okay for us to be vulnerable for sure. You also earlier had talked a lot about, or you had mentioned disinformation, and I think that's something that is coming up more and more frequently. You know, can you talk a little bit about how you and We Can Win are kind of addressing disinformation throughout the Black community?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's partners like Zero who have provided us or provided me with the resources necessary. If I could pan my camera over, I have a stack of books over here and literature on prostate cancer, man,
yeah.
Because yeah. I'm not a medical doctor.
Right.
You know, my doctorate is in Christian theology.
Okay.
But at the same time, if we keep listening to folks that don't know nothing,
mm-hmm.
we gonna keep on doing bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we have the resources that Zero can provide. And when I came to the summit, I got a chance to see it firsthand.
Yeah.
Firsthand how serious these people are about prostate cancer in the Black community.
Yeah.
Man, I heard Black community so many times while I was there,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, of course, we also hear that, you know, doctors want you to have prostate cancer or any type of cancer because it's a moneymaker.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is. It's a moneymaker. Doctors make a lot of money treating prostate cancer. But come on, there's these doctors out here. It's not about the money.
Yeah.
It's about, listen, I have a daughter that's getting ready to be a junior in college. Man, I want to be able to go down to Prairie View A&M and watch her graduate.
Yeah.
And a 15-year-old son that's getting ready to go into his sophomore year in high school.
Yep.
I want to be able to see him graduate.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got two grandkids
yeah.
that are coming up I want to see them graduate.
Yeah.
Right. And the only way to do that is to feed myself with good information. And that information is the type of information that I get from Zero, the information that I get from the ACS, the information that I get from Harold Simmons, because I see guys, man.
Yeah.
I see guys coming to these centers.
Yeah.
Broke down. And toe up.
Yeah.
You know, kids used to say toe up from the floor up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're going to die from prostate cancer.
Mm.
Right. The other lie is, you'll hear this, that one out of every 100 men will die from prostate cancer, but the other 99 will die with prostate cancer.
Okay.
Come on, man. That's the biggest lie. That's the biggest lie in the world.
Yeah.
Where do they get those numbers from?
Right.
That's not true.
Yeah.
We can have a 100% survivability rate if we take the time and follow good information and talk to good doctors who actually care about us.
Yeah.
And for instance, I had a guy in my first summit. Scott's PSA was 47.9.
Okay.
Looking at this guy, I'm like, 47.9? He said, He said, my doctor tells me I don't have prostate cancer.
Yeah.
Dr. Hanan, who was appearing virtually at the time, stopped the whole show.
Yeah.
I would suggest that you find another urologist.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You see? And so, you know, people tell me, right, man, when you're talking about this prostate cancer thing, man, you go in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do. Man, I have a deep feeling in my heart about this thing. Mm-hmm. Because, Chris, if I can help one man survive,
yeah,
I think I've done the job that God sent for me to do.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But I don't want to just save one.
Yeah.
I want to save 1 million.
Mm.
My quest is to build We Can Win to a national platform.
Yeah, yeah.
Bring in health equity speakers like yourself. How many people in the Black community even know what health equity is?
Yeah, great point. Great point.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so we need speakers like yourself and Dr. Seeley and people like this to come in and tell these guys, tell the Black community what health equity is, why it's so important for us to know about it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So all these are factors that we're trying to pull together to make sure that the information is correct.
Yeah.
Not partially correct. We want it to be 100% correct.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
And so when I get to talking about this thing, I get so full of it because I'm so passionate about it. I don't want to see anybody die. I mean, listen, prostate cancer does not just affect Black men. Let's get that out there as well.
Yeah.
It affects all men.
It doesn't
have a color scheme. It doesn't care, about your age. It doesn't care about your tax bracket.
Right.
It doesn't care about anything.
Yeah.
It can affect any man.
Yeah.
It's just that it affects Black men and Hispanic men more than anybody else.
Right. Yeah. That's, and I think that's the piece about, that's the piece that a lot of folks, kind of lose the thread on, if you will, and lose sight of is, we want to make sure we're doing this for everyone with a prostate, right? Anyone with a prostate, like, we want to make sure that you have access to the resources and we can help you navigate these conversations and all the topics that we've touched on today in this conversation are very real, right? And I think you made a really great point when you said, this affects everyone in your direct circle, right?
That's right.
And I think that's another thing that doesn't get talked a lot about, is it's not just the person who is diagnosed with prostate cancer or who is going through it. It's the caretakers, it's the medical team, it's the folks that are in your circle, your friends, your family, your colleagues at work. They're all there to help support you. So I love and appreciate that you had mentioned that. And I know we just talked a little bit about the information that, the disinformation and the information that you're using to kind of battle that. So I kind of want to shift gears and talk about your event that's happening on May 20th, 2023 in Dallas, Texas. Yeah. So if you could tell us a little bit about that and maybe talk about how people can get involved. That would be awesome.
Absolutely. Man, listen, I tell you, I am so excited about this year's event. It's crazy. I really, you know, it's kind of hard to explain why I'm so excited about this year's event. So we are making this thing into a symposium. It's called We Can Win, the 2023 Symposium on Prostate and Breast Cancer. This is going to be held on May 20th. May 20th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We have a panel of expert doctors that are coming in from the Harold C. Simmons Comprehensive Cancer Center. We're going to have a representative from the American Cancer Society. Zero will be in the house. We have some awesome people that are coming to share their testimony. You just talked about caregivers. Mm-hmm. So we have some family members that are going to come and talk about what life is like dealing with a person with prostate cancer. It's going to be at Church of the Disciples, Church of the Disciple, in DeSoto, Texas. And you can go to our website, www.wecanwinpc.org /events. It'll take you right to the event page. Have your camera ready, scan a QR code. It'll take you right to the Eventbrite registration page. We're asking that everybody registers. The event is absolutely free, but we're asking everybody to register for logistic purposes, you know, catering. We're going to serve a light lunch. Hey, man, we're going to have giveaways. We're going to do some baskets. It's our intent to give away a brand new barbecue grill. It's not going to be a $39.99 barbecue grill. It's going to
be a nice grill. Listen, it's Texas. You take it seriously. We get it. Yes,
sir. You know, our sponsors, of course, the American Cancer Society, Zero, the Howard C. Simmons Comprehensive Cancer Center have been fantastic with us to sort of stroke us through this thing. Yeah. You know, because again, you know, I'm new to this thing. Mm-hmm. Also, if you like to be a vendor, just go to our website, contact us page. And send us an email. We can shoot you out the information on becoming a vendor for this event or a sponsor, however you want to participate to help us out. Or if you just want to make a donation, you can just go back to our website, click on the tab that says Give a Gift. It'll take you to two of our giving portals. And we are a nonprofit, 501c3, so your donations and sponsorships are tax deductible. We're just looking to have a great time. We want to put at least 100 people in this church. We partnered with the church that's going to provide the venue for us for the next 5 years. So we don't have to worry about looking for a venue for 5 years. It's always the hardest part of putting these things on. Yeah. But we're going to have a lot of fun, man. It's not going to be as intense as it sounds. You'll be able to ask those questions and get real answers. We're going to laugh. Some people will probably cry. I'm surprised I made it this far into this podcast without shedding some tears, because it gets to be so passionate. Yeah. But we're going to have caregivers. We're going to have family members talking. We're going to have guys that's dealing with advanced stage prostate cancer. We're going to have guys that have gone through prostate cancer, but they're living a normal, healthy life. Mm-hmm. So in those 4 hours, man, you're going to learn some stuff that you wouldn't normally get just showing up every day.
Yeah, I love that. And let the folks know the website one more time for registration purposes and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. The website is www.wecanwinpc. It's wecanwinpc.org. And go to our events page. And it has a flyer there with all the information. There's a QR code you can scan. Or you can give me a call at 972-816-9588. We'll talk about it. And if you just need to talk, we'll sit on the phone and talk, man. Sometime I'm up till 10, 11 o'clock at night talking with different guys on the phone because they heard about what we're doing and they want to be a part of it. Yeah. So, hey, man, this event is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. I believe that at some point we're going to fill a hotel banquet room with African-American men and women, ladies, ladies, if you're listening, grab your husbands, grab your significant other, and make them come to this symposium. They need this information. Trust me. Yeah. It'll make them a better life.
I love it. And I you know what? I can definitely sit here and vouch for you. I can definitely vouch for Eddie. He's a phenomenal, phenomenal human. The work that he's doing is incredibly, incredibly important. And I know that you're making a huge impact in this space. So we're always happy to be here to support you and glad to be able to give you some type of platform to be able to promote your work in this event. As we're coming to as we're kind of wrapping up, I wanted to leave you with this question, really more so for the other folks out there and really actually for yourself, really. What's one thing that you kind of want to leave people with after hearing this, after hearing your journey, hearing a little bit about the work you're doing? What's one thing you want to leave folks with?
Well, I think the most important thing is basically what our tag says. This is real talk about prostate cancer. And I guess if I was to end this, I would say this. We can win this thing. If we all work together, we can win, because a cure is within reaching distance. That's what I would leave with them.
There it is. There it is. Dr. Eddie Wright, I so much appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much for the work you're doing. Thank you for taking the time. I think this is so important. I'm really excited for folks to hear this, and I think it's going to help so many people. I think everybody that I know that has talked to you, that has interacted with you, has loved it, and has always felt like they've walked away with something that they didn't know before. I know you dropped all your information, your contact information. For the folks that are listening to this, watching this, please do, if you're in the North Texas area, please reach out to Dr. Eddie Wright. He will make sure that you get taken care of. He'll make sure that you're connected. Obviously, you know, us over at Zero in the health equity, on the health equity side of things as well, more than happy to connect you to Dr. Eddie Wright if you're in the North Texas area. But thank you again for the time. We want to make sure that, you know, that we're getting this message out to as many people as possible. Thank you again for the work you're doing.
Man, listen, Chris, it was such a pleasure to meet you, man, at the summit. And I thank you for your friendship. I thank you for your support. Thank Zero for the support from Zero and the health equity side. Man, I'm looking so forward to having you next year. I'm booking you early, man.
Yes, sir. yes, sir.
So we'll you can come out and talk about this thing. But I appreciate you all for loving on us and taking such good care of us at We Can Win. And I look forward to a great relationship going forward.
Thank you for listening to Prostate Cancer Uncensored, a podcast produced by Zero. To download more podcasts, head over to zerocancer.org.